Amen. All right. First of all, I want to thank Pastor Jimenez for having me out. It's very humbling. It's an honor to be here, and it's a great opportunity. And I want to thank the church. I want to thank Verity Baptist Church for hosting this. I know you guys have gone through growing pains and probably losing your reserved seat and everything tonight. And I pray it'll be a blessing for you guys. But you know, thank God for the Red Hot Preaching Conference. I thank God that there's actually some church in America willing to say, I don't care what the media says, I don't care what anybody else says, we're going to stand on the Word of God, we're going to preach every Word of God, even if it offends people. And yeah, it's red hot, right? God's Word is red hot. There are things that are going to offend people, and I thank God that there are churches popping up all over the country now. I thank God that there is a new IFB movement, that there are people that are willing to move and relocate. And listen, if you don't go to one of these churches, you need to get to one.
Right.
You need to, I was talking with somebody earlier and I said, I'll give you the advice I give to everybody. You need to put in job applications in every city you might consider and then trust the Lord to provide. Just tell the Lord, answer my prayer and I'll go. Look, we need more soul winners. We need more preachers. We need more families standing on the Word of God. And, you know, I'm thankful. You know, I grew up old IFB, so I'm thankful to see something like this happening in my generation. It truly is a blessing. Now look, we're in Deuteronomy chapter 23. I want to start in verse number 17 here. He says, there shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel, nor a sodomite of the sons of Israel. All right, might as well start with the low-hanging fruit in this chapter. Right? This is red-hot preaching. Let's get this out of the way. Look, no whores nor sodomite. That's the title of my sermon tonight. Look at the next verse here. He says, thou shalt not bring the hire of a whore, nor the price of a dog, into the house of the Lord thy God for any vow, for even both of these are abomination unto the Lord. And listen, we know that sodomites are an abomination, right? Leviticus 18:22, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination, right? We know that. If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with woman, both of them have committed abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. We know that, right? That's easy to kick that dog. Right, but there's things in this verse that a lot of people ignore. And you know, there's a lot of wannabe Christians today that just hate the fact that the Bible still talks about sodomites. And it hasn't changed. It's still in my Bible. Now look, they can change theirs. You know, and I heard that in California, they're actually trying to pass legislation right now where they would make it illegal potentially to sell the Bible because under the guise, I forget the bill and the legislation, but they're saying basically any literature that would try to convert a homosexual should be banned. Well, guess what? If you got a King James Bible, it says they can't be converted. So they can ban the rest of the Bibles. Maybe God will bless that. You know, that would be good, but I don't think that's what they're after. You know, and a lot of these wannabe Christians, these fake Christians, well, that's not very loving. How dare you say that there are people out there like that? Listen, Jesus preached fire and brimstone. In Luke chapter 17, he says it was better if they would hang themselves and drown themselves. And in that same chapter, he preached fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah. Hey, Jesus preached hate. Jesus preached fire and brimstone. And we need to get back to that. Amen. We'll be better Christians if we would abide by what Jesus said. But take a step back here. Look at verse 17. There's something that's often overlooked. He says in verse 17, there shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel, nor a sodomite. Right? He goes on in the next verse. He says, they're both an abomination. Hey, it's easy to get that low-hanging fruit. Hey, maybe they would hang themselves. That'd be good, right? But it's easy to get the low-hanging fruit about the sodomite. But the Bible here also talks about no whore. There should not be a whore. We as Christians today have stopped standing up to the whoredoms. And thank God there are some churches, there are some men of God that say, hey, we shouldn't dress like whores. We shouldn't act like whores. We shouldn't let whores in front of our eyes. But you know, I went back and I'm not going to bore you, but I went back to the Hebrew on this because I was a little bit curious. Now look, I don't know any Hebrew. I know a little Greek, right? He's about this tall. He owns a pizza shop right around the corner from my house, right? But when you go back to the Hebrew, I discovered something very interesting, and I'm not even going to tell you how to say it because I would probably say it wrong. But when he says whore in this passage in the Hebrew, it's the same word as sodomite. Did you know there are reprobate whores? It's the same word, only it's the effeminate version of a sodomite. And I think it would do Christians well if they would take heed to the Scriptures and not put whoredoms in front of their eyes. I think it would do well for Christians if they would realize that there are women, there are whores, there are whoremongers, there is whoredoms that is trying to get you out of the fight that God has called us to. Listen, Satan is attacking our young men today. If you look at the average, and I've been in several of our churches, and you know the average, if you take a census, I would say probably you see a lot of 30 and younger men. Most of our soul winners are young men, single men. It's these men that are going to be preachers one day, Lord willing. And the devil, how's he going to try to get them out? Well, he's going to try to put a whore in front of them, right? Not just any whore. The devil's going to try to use one of these whores, a Deuteronomy 23 whore. Well, what is that? It's a sodomite. It's a reprobate. It's a child of the devil. Listen, there are certain women that dress certain ways because the devil is in their heart and they want to take you out of church. They want to get you out of the fight. They want to get you, they want to overthrow you in whatever they can. And listen, these same women are attacking our daughters as well. They're changing our daughter's perspective about womanhood and marriage. And you can't go anywhere without running into women that are copying the whores of Hollywood. And listen, this isn't by accident. This is an agenda. The devil is smart. And look, when you see a whorish woman, you just need to think in your mind, that is a reprobate. That is somebody that is trying to attack my mind. That is somebody that's trying to attack my children and get my children to act like them. You think about like the Hollywood stars, like a Miley Cyrus type, right? Miley Cyrus, years ago when she was 14, 15 years old, she took some very inappropriate pictures with her father. I believe her father sold her into whoredoms. And now that she's an adult, she's leading all of the children astray. You see it everywhere you go. They're pumping it down their throat. I mean, it blows my mind how effective music is and how effective video is. And I thank God that we can use some godly music and some godly preaching to try to retrain the brain, right? Try to wash your mind. Listen, some whores are worthy of death just as much as a reprobate, right? The Bible says, no whore nor a sodomite. No whore nor a sodomite. And listen, we need to get back to standing up against this stuff and warning our children and saying, hey, no, that's wicked. That's evil. Don't look. Cover it up. You go into a restaurant and you get a gay waiter, you should leave, right? Or you should get another waiter. If you get a whorish-dressed woman, get up and go across the street. Go somewhere else. Amen. They affect your children. They affect you. They take men out of the fight. And it's bad enough that pornography is like the majority of the internet traffic. It is. I don't know the statistics. I don't have to know it. It is by far the majority of the internet traffic. And I look around at some of the young men in here, and I just wonder, how many of you men are suffering with, well, I'm going to go on my computer. I'm going to go on my phone. Oh, I should watch some preaching. Maybe I'll check the news. Maybe I'll check Facebook. Maybe I'll look at something inappropriate. Listen, the devil is going to use your eyes to get to your heart to pull you out of the fight. The Bible says we need to hate the whoredoms of the land. Right? Hey, we can get an amen by saying we should put the sodomites to death. What about these filthy whores that are training up our children? You see them on the magazine covers. And listen, it doesn't have to be pornography. It's bad enough everywhere you go. It's bad enough on the television. We're in a restaurant the other day with Pastor Major and Pastor Romero. And I kid you not, this is a family restaurant. There's a daytime soap opera on. There's a man with his shirt off. He's naked. And we're like, what in the world is going on? And I climb up in the booth. I'm turning one of the TVs off. And they start kissing. Well, there was another TV on the other way. Pastor Mayo starts yelling at the manager. He was about to climb up into the booth and yank his TV down. I was like, whoa. I mean, he's going to step on somebody's table. But listen, I mean, this. And they're like, oh, it's not like we chose to put that on. Well, yes, you did. When you chose the daytime soaps, you chose to lower your standard. You chose to accept unbiasedly whatever is coming across that. And listen, the devil is pumping out whoredoms to get into your mind, to pervert your perspective of marriage, to change the way that you think about. I mean, it could even stop you from soul winning. I wonder how many people are stopped from soul winning because the devil is able to show them something on their phone, and now they won't go walk in the Spirit. Now they're stopped. Now there's a stumbling block. Listen, I pray that with this sermon I can help point out a few things to you that you need to have a very serious attitude to hate the whoredoms and know that there are whores that are on par, that are equivalent with a sodomite. And you don't have to go back to the Hebrew to see all this. You can see it. He says they're both an abomination. How much more does God have to say? A whorish woman is an abomination. I want you to look at verse number 1 here. Hey, they're worthy of death, just like a sodomite. Look at verse number one. Miley Cyrus is worthy of death. Deuteronomy 23, verse number 1, it says, "He that is wounded in the stones, or hath his privy member cut off, shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord." Now here we're going to see a list of some rejects, a list of some people that God says these people are not in the congregation. They don't belong. And first of all, he says that, you know, talking about somebody castrated. You got to have some stones to serve God. It takes some stones to stand up against the sodomites. It takes more stones to stand up against the whoredoms of the land and say it's wicked, it's filthy, I don't want my children to see it, I don't want to see it. And listen, men, we need to take a stand. And I know a lot of the ladies, you may, oh, he's saying the word whore. Hey, ladies, you should take it and be thankful that somebody's saying the way you're dressing, the way you're trying to be godly is a blessing, and what they're doing is wicked. Listen, we need more preaching against the whoredoms. You've got to have stones to serve. Look at verse number 2. He says, "A bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to his 10th generation shall he not enter into the congregation of the Lord." The word bastard is only used 3 times in the Bible. Again, he's talking about people that are cut off from the congregation. These are rejects. Look at verse 3. "An Ammonite or a Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to their 10th generation shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever." Now, if you guys remember Ammon and Moab, this was the incestuous escapees from Sodom, right? You know the story and what happened with their father, and this is the nations that resulted. And of course, they were wicked. Of course, they were raised doing strange things because they were raised in Sodom. But an Ammonite and a Moabite, this is kind of an interesting, into the 10th generation, how long does that last? Can you imagine 10 children away, 10 children down the line before somebody can enter in? Listen, God takes the sin of sodomy and whoredom very seriously, right? And that's what the mothers of these nations were. Look what he says in verse 4. He says, "Because they met you not with bread and water in the way, when you came forth out of Egypt, and because they hired against thee Balaam, the son of Beor, of Pethor, of Mesopotamia, to curse thee." You guys remember the story where they sent whores into the camp to call to the warriors to get the men disarmed, to get them to sin against God, because they knew God would then curse Israel. Right? That's how the devil works. If he can't get you totally out of it, well, let me see if I can send a whore in the camp. Let me see if I can send a sodomite in the camp. And when he talks about Balaam in Revelation chapter 2, it says the doctrine of Balaam, he says he taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. What is the doctrine of Balaam? How was Balaam able to curse, even though God reversed the curse and turned it into a blessing? Well, they sent whores in the camp. They sent whores into effect to steal the hearts of God's warriors with their filthy flesh, with their perversion, to serve another god. Look at verse number 9. He says, when the host goeth forth against the enemies, then keep thee from every wicked thing. When you go to war, when you go soul winning, when you go to church, when you take a stand and saying, hey, we're going to be 3 to thrive, I'm moving, I'm getting to church, I'm going to be on fire for God, I'm going to read my Bible every day, keep thee from every wicked thing. If you say, you know what, I'm going to get up early, I'm going to do it, I'm going to read my Bible more, I'm going to get up an hour early, and oh, let's check the news real quick. Oh, what's this in Hollywood? Oh, next thing you know, you're off on a rabbit trail. The devil will use anything he can to get you out of the fight. Specifically, like the whores of Hollywood, of music, of daytime television. Listen, we're surrounded by total perversion. The enemy is sending whores and sodomites in the camp, and we have to remember we are at war. We have to take it seriously. Could you imagine a sniper being distracted? Oh, what happened? I missed my target. I missed my mark. I was on a mission. Oh, there's a whore. Can you imagine being in a war? There have been battles where they use such things. Turn to Hosea chapter 4. Hosea chapter 4, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea. It's a famous chapter where he says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. That's not where we're going. In Proverbs 6, he says, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman, he says, lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. You understand a whorish woman can take you, can take your mind, can take your heart, can derail your entire thought process. as men of God, we're trying to serve the Lord, and guess what? The devil's going to send a whore. You need to settle it in your heart right now that you're going to hate the whores, you're going to hate the whoredoms. When you see a whorish woman, you're going to fight against it in your mind, in your heart. And I'm going to show you how in Hosea 4, well, stay there, let me finish reading this passage. He says, "For by means of a whorish woman is a man brought to a piece of bread." He's saying a whorish woman can take everything you've got. She can break you to nothing. He says, "Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned?" Can you imagine if we had a fire and I grabbed a log out of it and I tucked it into my shirt and then I put it back? Now, would my clothes be burned? Yeah, they'd be burned. What he's saying here, when you look at a whore, you're not blameless. When you look at a whore, you're no longer on the right path. When you look at a whorishly dressed woman, then you're actually totally derailed. How can you find? You're being affected by what you just saw. "Mine eye affecteth my heart." He teaches this all throughout Proverbs. And when you look, you're going to get burned. You're going to get burned. Can you look at her and not lose? Not according to the Bible. Right. You know, in Matthew 5, where Jesus said that whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her in her heart hath committed adultery with her already. When he says with her, I believe he's saying, hey, it's not just one person that's guilty, there's two. Listen, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, if as a woman, if you dress like a whore to get the attention of a man, and a married man looks at you, you are guilty of adultery. Right? As a woman, you need to hate the whoredoms. Oh, well, isn't that cute? Well, maybe it's a little too revealing. Maybe I'd be guilty of adultery if I chose to buy this clothing. Think about it as you're shopping. And listen, it's a two-way street. Men, we're responsible for what we look at. Men, we're responsible for what we think about. There's a lot of young men in here. There is another generation that's going to grow up out of the new IFB movement. And if you don't learn to control your thoughts now, if you're not girt about with truth, if you're not focused on the Scriptures, if you're not meditating, then the devil will derail you. Look, you're in Hosea chapter 4. Look at verse number 12. He says, "My people ask counsel at their stocks, and their staff declared unto them, for the spirit of whoredoms hath caused them to err, and they have gone a-whoring from under their God." Listen, today there's a lot of Baptists that dress like whores, act like whores, live like whores, divorce and remarriage inside the church, and it's wicked as hell. Hey, I thank God that we're separating from these dead Baptists or Baptists in name only. Amen. It's time to make a change. And it starts in here. With the individual. It starts with every one of you. Look at the next verse. He says in verse 13, "They sacrifice upon the tops of the mountains and burn incense upon the hills, under oaks and poplars and elms, because the shadow thereof is good. Therefore," listen to this, "your daughters shall commit whoredom and your spouses shall commit adultery." Right? Your daughters are under attack. Your spouses are under attack. Dad, you as the man of the house, if you get lazy and you, "Well, I'm just going to watch a little. It's just CSI. It's the History Channel. I want to learn about aliens. I'm going to let a little leaven into my camp." Guess what's going to happen? Your daughters are going to go a-whoring. Your wife will commit adultery when she looks at the television, when she listens to the world's music. Dad, you're the leader. The buck stops with you. We as men have to learn to hate the whoredoms, and we have to teach our family to do the same. We have to teach our young men to avoid it for the sake of their life. We have to teach our young women to be that Proverbs 31 woman. Who can find a virtuous woman? For years I would say, not me. Right? thank God I found one, right? Praise the Lord. But you know, there are very few virtuous women today. Most of them have changed their perspective to do exactly what the music tells them to do. To act like what they see in the magazines or following somebody on Facebook, and it's literally following in every footstep right on down to the groves to commit some whoredoms. Look at verse 14. "I will not punish your daughters when they commit whoredom, nor your spouses when they commit adultery, for themselves are separated with whores, and they sacrifice with harlots. Therefore the people that doth not understand shall fall." Would you, if you're writing your own history book right now, when you get to the end of your life, do you want to say, "Well, my family was separated. They went off with the whores." We're supposed to separate and go with God's people. He's warning them here. There was destruction coming. And he's telling them that their children and your wives were with the harlots. They're with the sodomites. They're with the reprobates in heart because you let some leaven in the camp. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. In Hosea there in chapter 4 verse 11 he says, whoredoms and wine and new wine take away the heart. Whoredoms take away the heart. Men, women, boys, and girls, there's something in our mind that the devil can use to distract you from working for God. We're all in the flesh. We all have to actively, daily make a choice to walk in the Spirit. Listen, the world is full of filthiness. The world is trying to normalize pedophilia, like with Miley Cyrus. Now she's teaching strange doctrines and whoredoms to our children. It's all over the television. I mean, she is Satan's seed. And there are reprobates that are after the hearts and the minds of your children. You have to choose to not let them in. And you don't just say that by saying, well, I only watch TV when they go to bed. Right? A family in my church was referencing a get-together with the family. And they said, look, I told them we're not even going to go. Because I don't want my children to think it's okay for once you're grown up to hang out with people that are drinking. You know, and he's right. That's a good stand. There's nothing, oh, once you get past 18, then you can. Son. No. You raise them right from the beginning to hate the whoredoms. Amen. Look, they lie in wait to deceive the simple. Right? They're trying to get in your heart. They're after your children. Pedophilia is being normalized in America. Perversion is normal. Marriages are under attack. Churches are under attack. Soul winning is being excluded. And I believe that God is using this movement to raise up soul winners all across America. They're gonna call it hate speech. They're gonna shut down your website. They're gonna shut down your YouTube, your Facebook, right? They're already beginning to do this. Hey, I wonder if Pastor Anderson will make it to 100,000 viewers. It makes me wonder on YouTube, right? Because you know, maybe there's a point where they say, you know what, we're done. You know what, we can get away with it. The majority don't care because they're already after another God. They're already whoring in their heart. They already hate you because you say that a sodomite is a wicked thing. A sodomite should be put to death. Hey, but the Bible says the whore is also worthy of death. In Ephesians 4, he says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Listen, it's time to rid our land of whores. It's time to just get them out of your mind, to stop caring, you know, off your computer, off your phone. Man, if you struggle with this, if you have a problem with this, you need to seriously seek the face of the Lord. Do you think God's going to bless that if you're looking at inappropriate images? You say, well, it's not as bad as it used to be. What are you on Facebook trolling people? What are you doing? Are you on the news? Are you looking at people's profiles and pictures, just searching out for some sort of whoredom? Listen, that's how the devil wants to get you. He will take your heart through whoredoms. You're in 1 Corinthians 10. Look at verse number 6. Now these things were our examples to the intent that you should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Right? Evil means harmful or hurtful. Right? He's saying don't lust after something that's going to hurt your soul. It's going to mess with your mind. It's going to destroy your spirit. These things cause spiritual damage. Look at verse number 8. He says, neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Right? 23,000 people died in one day because of whoredoms. How did the devil get in the camp? Well, they sent the whores in first. They didn't send their warriors. They sent the whores. There is a war for the souls and the lives of Christians today, and it starts with the whoredoms. It's what's in your mind. It's how they're getting you. It's their devil is trying to entice you with anything that he can. Look at verse number 11. Now all these things happened unto them for in samples that they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. He's saying those things are written in the Bible so that we would learn not to lust after evil things, not desire things that may destroy your family. And look, there's a lot of single people in here tonight. You need to stop lusting and start trusting. Right? Just believe that if you do what's right, God will provide exactly what you need. Hey, it worked for me. I'm a testimony. My wife was at Faithful Word Baptist Church. I was going to move to Faithful Word, and I ended up moving to Fort Worth to serve with Pastor Romero. And the Lord sent my wife to Fort Worth. Now, if I had done another thing, who knows, right? But I thank God. I just came to the point where I said, you know what, Lord? I'm tired of looking. I'm going to trust you to provide. I'm going to move to Fort Worth, and I'm going to get ready to preach. I'm going to do what you want me to do. I want to serve. And I know there's certain things I have to have in order, but it starts with my heart. When my heart got right, when my attitude got right, when my mind got right, the Lord began to bless me and put these other things in my path. Look at verse number 12 here. He says, "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." Well, I'm a mature Christian. I'm a big boy. I can look at that stuff. I can go down to the theater on a Saturday night, and it doesn't hurt me. It doesn't affect my heart. Yes, it does. I don't care if it's a movie about a comic book. I don't care what kind of movie it is. They're putting subtlety of doctrine, of wicked doctrine in there. They're trying to confuse you about what truth is, about what reality is. I mean, science fiction, just the premise of science fiction is opposed to God. And that's where the wanderings of the mind of most children, most teenage boys are today. Yep. Oh, sci-fi, I wish I had this armor, some sword, some superpower. Hey, you do, but it's spiritual. You can't see it. Our blessings are not physical. Look at verse 13 here. He says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it." He said, hey, you're going to be tempted. It will happen. God will provide a way out. But too many Christians, they ignore that part of the verse. Well, he said, I'd be tempted. I guess I'll just give in. No, look to God. Trust in God. He says, God will not, he is faithful. God is more faithful than we'll ever be. It says, he will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. There's nothing to, well, you just don't know my situation. I don't care what your situation is. God says he's faithful. And when you get that in your mind, it doesn't matter what the temptation is. It doesn't matter what the trial is. You learn to trust in God and have confidence in God. He says there's a way to escape here. You need to start looking for the escape plan. As Christians, when we get backed into a corner at work, when you get put in a situation, when you're around somebody dressed like a whore, men, look for that way of escape. Ladies, when you're shopping, and well, this is kind of cute, it's almost, is it too low? Is it too high? If you have to ask, put it back. Just put it back. Look at verse number 20 here. "But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. I would not that you would have fellowship with devils." I would not that you would look at reprobate whores. I would not that your heart would follow the world. You can't have fellowship with God and with devils. And too many Christians today, they're still sucked in it. In our movement, there are still Christians. They'll get out of church. They get in the car. They turn on the radio. It's ungodly music. It takes their heart. It's like they're walking in their spiritual man. They have a seat. They push the button. Done. In the flesh. Just that quick. They go home. They struggle with sin. They wonder why it's still the same. Lord, why am I having the same problems? What are you doing about your music? Lord, why is it still the same? What are you watching on Netflix? What are you watching on YouTube? Are you going to the movie theater? You're bringing leaven into your own camp. You're bringing sin into your own camp. It says when they brought the leaven, it says it bred worms and stank. Can you imagine just bringing corruption into your house, setting it on the kitchen table, and then sitting around with your family and having dinner? Listen, as Christians, it's time for us to take a serious stand in our heart. Be willing to walk away from the whoredoms of the land. Be willing to fight against the whoredoms of the land. Look at verse 21. He says, "You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils." You can't do both. Look, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. They will steal your heart if you let them, and it's time to take a stand. It's time to make a determination in your life. Hey, I'm going to set a goal. Hey, I want to overcome these things. God's given you the power to do it, but most people don't activate what they've been given. It's like you've been given a $1 million check, and they just stick it in their pocket. It's a waste. It's a waste. As Christians, we have so much power. We have the power to not walk in the flesh, to overcome sin. And most Christians in most churches will end up falling out. Churches have a high turnover rate. They come, they're excited, they're on fire, they're confronted with their own sin. Oh, the pastor's preaching on my sin today? Well, oh man, I got to make a decision. I'm going to go home and watch some TV and think about it. Well, that's pretty stupid. Right? But you think about it, most Christians, they get excited, they get on fire. And listen, I was old IFB. I grew up in independent fundamental Baptist churches, and there are names and faces from different churches in different states throughout my history of people that have now fallen out. People I used to look up to. People I was excited when I saw them. Man, this guy's zealous. This guy's on fire for God. He's always talking about the Bible. And now where are they? Serving the devil. They just brought the sin into the camp. They called the whore, come on in, have a seat. Right? They brought the leaven in. It's breeding worms. It stinks. Their family's suffering. Their daughters are committing whoredoms with harlots. Their wives are committing adultery. And that's the devil's plan. He wants to separate your family, but we need to separate from him. Look, 1 Peter 1, he says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. To walk in the Spirit is to be sober. If you're daydreaming, right, the thought of foolishness is sin. Right? If you're daydreaming about winning the lottery, you know, that's a sin. If you're daydreaming about a fancy car or some person, oh, well, look at their muscles, look at their hair, look at their life, look at their money, that's wicked. That's the whoredoms of the land. Look, you're in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. He says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Right? So even though the sodomites should be put to death, until the government tells us to start a posse, we don't put them to death. All right? This is spiritual warfare. We preach against it. Right? Like we should go lobby the government to change it. We should abide by what the Bible says. We don't pick up stones. That's not where we're at today. Right? One day we'll be back to that. Look what he says in verse 4. He says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We all have spiritual strongholds in our life. We all have certain obstacles we have to overcome. I don't know your sin. I don't want to know your sin, but you're in the flesh. That's all I need to know. God's told us enough, and He's telling us that we need to fight this battle on an individual basis. There is a stronghold in your life that you need to pull down, and you can't do it with your hands. You have to do it with your spiritual man. You have to do it through the power of the Word of God. You have to do it through fasting and prayer and just obeying God's Word. Amen. Obeying when your pastor preaches against your sin. If you would just obey, God would bless you. You have to be spiritually strong to overcome. Listen, there are a lot of young men that have a stronghold about their eyes. There are a lot of young men that may move on and be great preachers for God one day if they'll decide to get rid of that stronghold today. If they'll decide to start hating those reprobate whores of the world that want to get in your mind and want to convince you that's what you want in life, that's not what you want. Those are daughters of the devil. They're ruining your mind. So how do we fix this? What's the solution? Look at the next verse. Verse 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You take your thoughts captive. You take control of what your mind is thinking about. He says, casting down imaginations. If you catch your mind wandering, and the Spirit reveals something to you, you need to cast it down. Like you're grabbing it out and casting it down in your spiritual man. Lord, help me. Lord, get this out of here. Lord, help me to hate this sin. Lord, help me to hate the problems in my life so I can be used of you. You have to attack your own evil thoughts. The devil, with subtlety, is going to try to inject thoughts. He can't possess you, so he's going to try to influence you through thoughts, right? He's going to try to sneak in, and you have to get him captive and cast him down. You have to fight the flesh, really, in a spiritual man. And it starts, I believe, by rejecting the rejects, right? We start out in Deuteronomy 23. There's a list of rejects, right? The bastards, the whores, the sodomites. Those are rejects. Those spiritual rejects are people we need to be willing to walk away from. And if you have old friends that are old IFB and they're not living for God, man, just walk away from them. Even if they're not a reprobate, if they're not living for God, walk away from them. Get out of the dead churches. Get somewhere that's on fire. Start serving God. Listen, if you haven't noticed yet, God's doing something around the country. He's popping up churches all over the place. Who's next? Who's next? Brother Mejia, I wasn't ready. Hey, I wasn't ready. Brother Stuckey, I don't know, I wasn't ready. Hey, God's ready. In God's time, there are people that are sitting in here today that I may not even know your name. I'll be watching you on YouTube. Wow, man, this guy's a good preacher. Where'd he come from? Well, it started because the war in his mind, the war in his heart, he decided to take it captive and cast these thoughts down, to take control. Look at the next verse. He says in verse 6, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Right? Hey, ladies, you start thinking about money. Well, I want affluence. I want the house. I want the... Hey, take control of that. Have a readiness to revenge the thoughts that would take you off your spiritual path. Have a clear mind. Walk in the spiritual man. You got to start walking with God. Listen, when something happens like that, when you find yourself, you know, you have to head it off. God's going to reveal you. He's giving you the Holy Spirit to show this sin to you, right? Confess it. Ask for forgiveness. Ask God to help you to hate the sin that's holding you back. Turn from it, you know, and then ask for the power to overcome it. But, you know, another key, I believe, you know, if you're casting a thought out, in most situations, when there's a vacancy, you need to fill that vacancy. You shouldn't just have a blank mind. Frankly, I don't think anybody ever really has a blank mind, right? Unless maybe you're like one of those pothead flat earthers, you know. You know, which, I guess I'm a globalist now. I'm preaching behind a globe. But listen, when there's something that you're trying to get out of your mind, it's easier if you push something else in. Right? What do you do? Well, you're trying to memorize scripture. What do you do? You pull out that 3x5. You got a verse on it. What do you do? You're being selfish. You're in the flesh. Do the opposite. Do something selfless. Pray for your wife. Pray for your friend. Pray for your parents. Right? Pray for people in a selfless way, and I believe that is a way to substitute a thought, to inject a thought, so that their spiritual man has the power to cast that other thought down, to get these whoredoms out of your mind. In Philippians 4, he says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Right? Protecting what you got, your mind, your heart. He says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Listen, to take control of your mind and to stop the whoredoms of the land, the sodomites of the land affecting you, you have to make a positive effort to think of positive things. You have to be selfless for a minute and start praying for other people. Start thanking God for the victories you've had in your life. And maybe there's a few people in here that would say, you know what, I don't even deserve to be alive and standing here today. God should have left me dead in a ditch years ago. Hey, but don't discount yourself. Don't let the devil whisper in your ear and say, well, you can't fight this battle. You're guilty of sin. Hey, God has conquered that sin and He wants to use you. He wants you to get excited and zealous against the sin, against the whoredoms, and fight against it. Amen. How do you have victory? Stop being selfless. Look, he says, look at verse 5 again. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Our country is under attack by perverts and pedophiles. They want to normalize every manner of filthiness, and we have to fight them right here and right here. We have to cast down these thoughts. Some whores are just as bad as a sodomite. Do you hate the whores of the land? If not, you ought to. Let's pray. Amen. Lord God Almighty, we love You. We thank You for Your Word. Lord, I pray that some of this Scripture we'd be able to take to heart and change our attitude and change our life. Lord, I pray that You would help us to just be victorious in preaching the gospel all across the country. Lord, we love You and we're just so amazed at the work that You're doing. And Lord, I do believe that there are men in here that one day will be leading congregations. And Lord, they need to get their hearts right. They need to get their mind right. Lord, I pray You give them the power to do it. Lord, I pray You bless Pastor Anderson as he comes to speak for us, and just continue to bless this church. Thank You, Jesus. Amen.